welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with a surly Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
Well, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 49-6 win against Boonville. And, you know, I thought, again, we saw your defense come out and get a good three and out to start the game. The offense comes out and scores, I believe, on each of its first six possessions. And, you know, I know we keep saying the same thing week after week after week, but what did you see different, or what would you like that you saw on film this time?
Well, I think our efficiency. We played so well against Southern Boone. You always worry about that letdown, but this time of year our players start to really feel the enthusiasm, and it carried over from the Southern Boone game. We had good practices. Our preparation was good. The execution was really good the other night. I felt like we were executing in all areas. We had a couple, you know, things that happened that weren't probably as good as we wanted it to be, but it was stuff that our players recognized. And I think the other thing I really noticed on film was their enthusiasm. I thought our enthusiasm all the way up and down the lineup was really, really good.
As we talked about after the game, another great defensive effort. I think you all gone 10 quarters without allowing a score. And to me, and we talked about this after the game, was how you all really made Boonville work for that one touchdown. I mean, Warren Davis made a great touchdown-saving tackle on the Cons kid on that long reception. You know, they had to convert on fourth down to keep the drive going inside the five, and they did eventually score. But even if that was the worst possession the defense played all game, it was still a great game overall for what the defense was able to accomplish.
Actually, I was pretty impressed with our defense.
Yeah.
You know, again, when you're playing in the playoffs, teams have nothing to lose, especially if you played them before, so they're going to do some things that are out of their character. I thought our defense responded very well. The thing that I noticed is we got pressure on Bishop for the first time in three games. You know, I mean, three games because we played him last year, we played him twice this year. I don't know if we've ever sacked him. We sacked him twice. We forced him into heavy pressure. I thought we had a really good front push. And they had three really good receivers. They're talented. They're all 6'3", you know, above. The 21 probably wasn't, but the rest of them, all 6'3 and above. And I thought our DBs fought like crazy. Great position, knocked balls down. We had real competitive situations. So, the running the ball wise, they had a couple little good runs, but nothing that was just devastating. So, if we can continue to play good run defense and get after the passer the way we're doing, I feel really good about our chances in any game.
And I know we talk about what your skill players are able to do. And again, as I've said, we don't talk about the defense enough. We don't talk about that O-line enough. And I think the stats really back that up on Friday by the number of 10-plus yard plays that you all had and the number of times the ball carrier didn't get touched until 10-plus yards down the field. And that was a talented Boonville defense where you've got Schuster, number 17, broke the school record in sacks. You've got Ellison also on that line. I mean, that was a very talented Boonville defense, and your O-line just did such a good job of holding them in check.
I think since the last Hallsville game, our O-line didn't play real well against Hallsville the first time. And I feel like since that game, we have challenged them to be six-second competitors. And each team we played, which being Southern Boone twice and then Boonville, had relentless D linemen. And what I mean by that, they don't stop. And so what we've been evaluating on film is the guy you're blocking, when he takes off to follow the play, are you. And the last 2 weeks, our guys have been relentless dogs. They've been just going after people, and they're trying to do the best they can to stay with their person and compete until that whistle blows. And I really, Carson Rustemeyer, Justin Keddie, Zach Bonnet, Caden Schulte, Braden Schaefer, they just don't stop till the whistle blows. And that is, when you start doing that, you're starting to buy a little bit. And that's what I like this time of year. If we start to get a little bit of that grit about us, that allows us to run the football. We can run the football. You run the football in November, you got good things happening for you.
You bring up Hallsville, and Coach, we just can't seem to get away from the Tri-County Conference. Another rematch this week with Hallsville. And you know what? You got to tip your hat off to a team that is a 5-seed in a 7-team district and wins a district title, because that means you had to go on the road 3 straight weeks and you had to win all 3 times. So, you know what? with Hallsville, don't look at the record because, at the, as we say in the postseason, records don't matter. They're one of the last eight teams remaining in Class 3.
Exactly what we told our players. They're hot. They feel good. You can see their confidence is just overflowing. They really feel good about where they're at. They're making stops when they need to on defense. They're scoring points on offense with their quarterback and receivers. Their special teams are unique because they do a lot of different things on special teams. So they have really come into this postseason and really gotten on a tear. And again, now we have to go to their place and play. This is the second time we played them. Our main message to our players: who has improved from the last game to this game? Doesn't matter. First game does not matter. Who's improved more? Because if they've improved more than us, then that's not a good day. We've got to improve from first game to second game, and our players have been really, really on point this week to try to improve.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage, and Greg's gotten a lot more happy since I did the intro. So,
how about that, Tony?
Greg, you're just tired of watching this team after team after team that you've already seen this year, but we're going to deal with that in a minute. So first of all, let's look back to the second of what will be three teams in a row that you've already seen this year. So going back to last week, Blair Oaks pretty commanding 49-6 win against Boonville in that district final.
Yeah, I mean, it probably played out the way we kind of talked about it. Yeah, like I know Boonville's number six in the state, but I mean, this just goes to show you that there's a huge gap between number one and number six.
Right.
I mean, Boonville's got talented players. They just...
not as many as Blair Oaks does.
Well, they don't match up just quite all that well with Blair Oaks.
I mean,
game started with another three and out. Shocker, because what I think Blair Oaks is up to 53 three and outs forced through 12 games, 11 games now. So, and then Blair Oaks scored on each of its first six offensive possessions. Plus, they had a muffed punt return for a not punt return, but like a muff pump attempt for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So hey, they even got special teams. Right. Their special teams outscored Boonville. So again, a good game for Blair Oaks. I mean, they came in extremely prepared. That being said, again, Boonville is good. They're also young. I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, that kid's only freshman, that kid's only a sophomore, so Boonville will be back. They just weren't quite there yet. And I think if you talk to a lot of people in Boonville, they'd argue, hey, I don't think a lot of people Boonville thought they were going to win nine games this year, so they're already well ahead of the pace of where they want to be. So they'll be back there. They just weren't quite there this year.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So after getting the second win of the season against Southern Boone in the district semis, you get the second win of the season against Boonville in the district finals. And now it's another rematch. So it'll be a 1 o'clock quarterfinal today at Hallsville. It's a weird Hallsville team. I mean, let's just say it first off, it was a 56-12 win for Blair Oaks first time around, and not that long ago. I think that was the last of kind of they had a 4-game losing skid to end the regular season, but they put it together and won two, you know, back-to-back games in districts and, you know, kind of made it to the point where you're like, okay, or actually three then in districts and kind of got things rolling. And the last of it was the 37-35 win against Moberly last week. I know you were kind of rooting for the Spartans just for something different, get a chance to see somebody you haven't already seen this year.
Why would I ever get what I want, Tony?
Not many of us in this life ever do. That's why. So I guess the big thing is again, it's, I think Blair Oaks has now done this 3 weeks in a row where it's not like that you go, we don't know how to prepare for a team we've already seen. We don't know how to prepare for... they might introduce another wrinkle. I think they're very familiar with what's going to go on today. So I think this is just going to be line up, hat on a hat, see who, you know, does better. And I think, again, I think Blair Oaks has got to be the heavy favorite going into this one.
Look, and again, nothing against Hallsville.
Right.
You can, all you can do is just beat the team that's in front of you.
Sure, right.
That being said, that was, I mean, Class 3, District 3 was by far the – the least talented district of right. the eight in the state. We cannot pretend that that's not the case. Right. I mean, nobody ended the season in that district ended the season above 500.
Wow.
And it's not because they all played in dynamo conferences or had that difficult of regular season schedules. That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
Geographically, you had a group of seven teams in a district that they just did not perform as well as a lot of others. I mean,
yeah.
I would argue at least the top four teams in District 4 would have won District 3. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
But again, that being said, credit to Hallsville. They went on the road 3 consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
They were by seed, the underdog, 3 consecutive weeks. And guess what? They won 3 consecutive weeks with their season on the line.
Yeah.
I cannot overstate this on the other end. That is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
That is very, very, very difficult to do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Lit for Life was the 4th seed and came through and won their district, but they at least got one home game. So,
right.
You know, I would argue, yeah, Hallsville's coming into this game with a 5-7 record, but you know what? They're one of the last 8 teams remaining.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a feat, especially when you look that they lost to Blair Oaks in Week 8.
Right.
And I would argue that was a disappointing finish to the regular season for Hallsville losing to California. That's really a game. I was shocked that they lost, and they finished second to last in the conference as a result of that.
Yep.
And I know if you look at – people are going to look at the numbers, and they're going to – again, Braden Matheny is only a couple hundred yards away from 4,000 yards passing, which that's a bizarre number for a team that has a 5-7 record. I'm trying to think how many Blair Oaks quarterbacks I've covered that have thrown for that many yards in a season. I mean, Nolan Hare is the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Yep.
But other than that, they just haven't found ways to get enough stops.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, it speaks to the resiliency of this team, because I think that 4-game skid, when you talk about it, you know, and again, everybody in the Tri-County likes to get up for those games. They're important games. But you lose to Osage, Southern Moon, Blair Oaks, and then, you mentioned California, the last one. It would have been real easy to just pack up the tents at that point and just say, that's kind of, we've ended the season. Let's just be done in one more game.
Yeah,
but they didn't.
That was one of the things I pointed out to Coach LePage, not in this interview earlier in the podcast, but after that. That I was like, hey, how hard? I mean, that was one of the questions I had. I was like, you know, how hard is that when you lose? I mean, it's one thing to lose to Blair Oaks in Week 9. It's another to lose to a California team that is not quite at the level it was last year and lose a close game. I think for a lot of teams, it would be hard to get back up going for Week 10. Now, again, the motivation could have been there that, hey, any of the 7 teams in this district can win this district.
True.
We have just as good a chance as anybody.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a key motivating factor.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah. The bad part is your reward for emerging from that district is you get the team that probably nobody wants to play.
They're finally back at home, and they haven't been home for a while, because if I remember, I think that California game was on the road.
It was in the
so they haven't
the
been road, home so, for almost 2 months.
Yeah, so it's been a while, so that, you know, that ought to help. And again, I do feel like that Hallsville always plays well at Hallsville. It's a great environment up there, so I guess you got to hope that maybe all this other intangible stuff maybe comes into play and makes this one close for as long as possible.
And again, let's go back to, they beat Moberly, 37-35, I believe, in the district championship game last week. And there were, I think there were 5 lead changes in the fourth quarter. I believe they scored the go-ahead touchdown and then got a stop late in the game to secure the win. So, there's some momentum also from that. I'd have to double-check, but I'm pretty sure this might be the first district championship in Hallsville history. I want to say, even as good as they were in 21, they might have either they won a district title that year and lost in the quarterfinals, or they lost in the district championship. So if this isn't the furthest they've made in the playoffs, this ties the furthest.
Yeah.
So again, this goes back to ignore the record. You're one of the last 8 teams. But if you're Blair Oaks, you have to also feel pretty good coming to this. I mean, you're missing 2 key players. You're getting other guys back, and you're playing pretty close to perfect football still. You're playing great on defense. By the way, and just clearing up earlier in the interview with Coach LePage, the one thing I was trying to point out about the defense was the Bloomville touchdown. You had a long pass to Landon Cons that got Bloomville in the red zone. Bloomville had to convert on 4th down just to keep the drive going inside the 5, and then they scored. And the thing I was trying to point out with the defense, if that's the worst thing that you did during that game defensively, was that Bloomville had to absolutely work hard to get those 6 points, you'd feel pretty good going into this. I know the shutout streak ended, but man, you really made them earn those 6 points.
Absolutely. So, again, I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school by saying that I don't expect this one to be close today. But let's just say if, you know, let's say things don't go great, turn over here, maybe don't convert here, they convert, go down and score. If it's a game for as longer than I think it's going to be a game, does the fact that, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Blair Oaks has not been in a close game for 10 weeks. Does that concern them at all? Or is that something where they're like, well, we almost would like to see that at this point just to kind of refresh our memory as to what that's like?
I'm going
to
say, even if you're trying to say the last close game was Lutheran North, I mean, that was still a 30-point decision.
Right.
So really, I think that's the closest decision they've been in all year.
Yep.
Let's put it this way. For Hallsville to either be close in this game or even win it, Blair Oaks has to make a bunch of mistakes. Right. Like, I'm talking about, they made a lot of mistakes in the Lutheran North game. That being said, those mistakes were forced by some really, really talented athletes.
Sure.
For Hallsville to be in this game, Blair Oaks is going to have to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And on the other end, Hallsville will have to play its best game. The problem that, I mean, Hallsville's going to play its best defensive game. And if you look at, I don't have their points per game allowed, but it, I mean, it's a lot. It's got to be in the 30s because they are consistently giving up points. And it's forcing their offense to outscore their defense, which is also a tall task.
Sure.
When you pretty much throw the ball 75% of the time.
Yeah.
And teams know you're not going to run it. So that kind of, that kind of allows the defense to kind of pick and choose. They know what they have to do.
Let me hit you with just a couple of these numbers for you, Greg. They have allowed 42, 48, 34, 15, not bad, 29, 52, 48, 56, 42, 13, 22, and 35. All against teams not named Blair Oaks.
Yeah.
If they're giving up 56 and 48, I mean, that 56 was the Blair Oaks, but if they're giving up scores like that to teams that aren't Blair Oaks, I don't see there's any way they cannot give up a whole bunch of points to Blair Oaks, in which case then you're going to have to score a whole bunch, and I don't see you doing that against the Blair Oaks defense.
Yeah, Hallsville will have to get stops, or they're going to have to force turnovers. There's just no way about it. If Blair Oaks does what it's been doing the past 2 weeks, they win this one handily, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, in order for Blair Oaks to not go on to the state semifinals, we're going to have to see a drastic improvement from Hallsville from that Week 8 game.
Or we're going to have to see a lot of people not suit up in green that normally
suit up in green. Yeah.
So, how is the overall health? I know you mentioned we do have the ones that we knew were out.
Yeah.
But again, how's the overall health of the other people that we, you know, had last week? Do we have them again this week?
Some people, James Rodman, who was hurt in the Hallsville game in the regular season, he will be available to play. But, I mean, they're back to full strength because something we haven't talked about. Guess who didn't play in that regular season game against Hallsville?
Who's that?
All-State defensive lineman and conference defensive player of the year, Bryson Barnum. The one takeaway I have from that game was, you know, Braden Matheny was able to scramble a lot and throw away a lot of incomplete passes without getting sacked, without intentional grounding calls. But he also didn't have Bryson Varner chasing him. I wonder how different it'll be for this game with Bryson Varner chasing him every single play.
Good point.
And I do think that's going to make a huge impact in this game because, you know Bryson had a nice sack last week against Boonville. And by the way, that's something we haven't talked about enough is Evan Bishop, Boonville's quarterback, only was sacked 2 times in 2 games against Blair Oaks, and that is rather impressive because that is, with the defensive line Blair Oaks has, man, if you can get out of there with only a sack per game, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Sam Weber will be available to play off the bench if they need him, and really other than that, I mean, there's obvious bumps and bruises, but, I mean, at this point, you know, Hayden Lackman is out and Brady Dabkus is out, and everybody's a full go for Blair Oaks.
All right. Guess that gets us to the prediction point, and I'll just ask you, how big is the Blair Oaks victory today?
What was this, 56-12? Was that the score?
That was 56-12 in Week 8, yes.
Do I just pick that same score? Are we going to see that same
If you're going to have to keep seeing the same teams, you might as well pick the same scores, right?
Let's pick 56-12. And on the flip side, I'll be very intrigued to see what happens in the Maryville-Odessa game.
Sure.
The other quarterfinal. Yep. Because are we going to see a fourth Twins, or are we going to see Maryville again?
Let's worry about that next week. You can be grouchy about that next week. Let's worry about that in a week.
All right. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action J-A-X-O-N-05. Thanks for listening.